Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're announcing, as the result of an archaeological expedition to the lowest levels of the KGov bunker, KGov.com, the lowest levels of the KGov bunker, also known as Bob's basement, what was lost is now found. We were able to unearth, well, not any dinosaur soft tissue, unfortunately. Although we've got some of that coming our way soon. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But we were able to unearth, to rediscover the master videos from the God's Criminal Justice Seminar that I presented all over the country back in the 1990s. This was from Honolulu through to the East Coast. Well, to Pittsburgh is the furthest east I think the seminar got. And over the years, of course, we've switched from VHS to DVD, and now we even have downloads and Blu-ray available. So we're so excited. In fact, later in this program, I'm going to share with you some of the material from our God's Criminal Justice System seminar. For example, where do we get the concept of the presumption of innocence from? Well, of course, that's from the Bible. Where do we get the idea that the king, or even the governing officials, are not above the law? And that would include the head of the FBI and the Secretary of State and so on. Where do we get that principle from? It's from the Bible. How do we find out about admissibility of evidence? It's from the Bible. How about perjury and contempt of court? It's from the Bible. How about if someone attempts to commit a crime but doesn't actually commit the crime? How do you punish them? You find out from the scriptures. What does God say about incarceration? How about unintentional and justifiable homicide? How about civil disobedience? All these and much more are discussed in our God's Criminal Justice System seminar. I think that you will absolutely love it. So that will be coming to our store. You go to kgov.com, our website, kgov.com. Click on the store. And then we have audio, video, literature, so many resources for the Christian in apologetics, in creation science, in hermeneutics, in Old Testament, New Testament. I think you'll just absolutely love the store. Materials for kids, for parenting. So if you haven't checked out the store, please, you'll want to go there, kgov.com, and then just click on the store. And there's another video that's coming out on our store, and it's titled Exodus Symbols. If you recall, a year ago, we did our list of evidence for the Exodus. It was so powerful, so fascinating, and that covers the first part of the book of Exodus, which we call the Exodus story, the story. Then after that, there's the Exodus code, and then the Exodus symbols, the symbolic ordinances in the book of Exodus, the tabernacle, and so on. And so as I had the honor of teaching through the book of Exodus at Denver Bible Church in Sunday school, we split it up into those three sections. And just now we have put on our store, kgov.com, click on the store, we've put Exodus symbols. So all three sections of the book of Exodus are now available. If you enjoyed our list of evidence for the Exodus, I think you'll absolutely love this study, Exodus Symbols. Okay, so those are two videos for our store. Now, our YouTube channel, which is growing, and we're so thrilled about that, we have just uploaded our most popular video for the past couple years. It is our Real Science Radio's Global Flood and Hydroplate Theory video. It is 3 hours long. People have told us that it is a groundbreaking presentation of the evidence for the global flood and for something called the hydroplate theory, that is the fountains of the great deep model of the global flood. Where did the water come from for the flood? It came from below the crust. This is the model made popular by Dr. Walt Brown. And when Walt Brown and his wife Peggy, when they saw this video, they called us up and they ordered hundreds of copies of it, which they then sent as a Christmas present to their friends all over the country. So what an honor that was. At any rate, now the full video is available. We hope that people will still buy it on DVD or on Blu-ray so that they could hand it to a friend. Sometimes it's easier to share something with someone when you just give them a disc, but it's also available now online on our YouTube channel. And again, to find that, you go to our website, kgov.com, and just click on YouTube. Or, of course, you could go right to YouTube and search for Bob Enyart or for Real Science Radio, and you'll find us, and it's right there. So with God's help, with his blessing, this video now will reach the hearts and minds of thousands of additional people. And of course, that is the goal. I have been working with Brian Nichols. He has produced the Hydroplate Theory tutorial video series that we now sell in our store. And so we're really planning this year, 2018, to make a major push in the promotion of the Hydroplate Theory. Okay, another video coming to YouTube on Friday. And this is, again, on our YouTube channel. This is our list of brain dead patients who've recovered. So we've done this on Real Science Radio, Fred Williams and I. Now our producer, Larry Wolf, has turned it into a YouTube video. And it will be, Lord willing, it will be published on our YouTube channel this Friday, January 26th, 2018. So look for that. Already, this is our most popular resource from our ministry. Now, we would not have predicted this just a couple years ago. But when people are told that their loved one is brain dead and they just have something in their gut, they don't believe what they're hearing, because brain dead means not dead. That's what it means. They go to the internet and they search for brain dead. And they search for brain dead recovery and brain dead patients who have recovered. And number one, out of tens of thousands of pages, they find us at kgov.com. So now we are taking the radio show that was based on that list of brain dead patients who have recovered, and that Larry Wolf has turned that into a YouTube video. So now on Friday, that will be published. And we're just thrilled about that. And we hope and pray that it will not only reach family members who've been told that their loved one is brain dead, but hopefully it will reach medical professionals, and it will teach them to be humble before God and the hubris that it takes to tell people that, well, your loved one is dead while they're still breathing. So this video is extremely powerful, and we think that when our listeners view it, and all they have to do is click to share on Facebook, on Twitter, and so on, they will do that, and this will reach many thousands more. And as you realize, if you've listened to Bob Enyart Live for some time, we present our material from a Christian worldview, whether it's what's in the news, whether it's economics, history, if it's psychology, if it's paleontology, any of the science disciplines, of course, the scriptures. We do all this in order to point people to Jesus Christ, because everything centers on Jesus Christ, either in obedience and humility before him or in rebellion against him. Jesus Christ is the center of everything and everyone's life, either because they are consciously moving toward him or rebelling and running away from him. So this video now, RSR's list of brain dead patients who have recovered, we think will reach many thousands of more people. And then also, yesterday we aired the stunning presentation by abolitionist Jonathan Sutherland, who spoke to us at Colorado Right to Life's 2018 March for Abolition. So if you were not able to attend, you can hear Jonathan's talk. Just go to kgov.com and look for yesterday's show, January 22nd, or search for Jonathan's name in our search bar. So you go to kgov.com and search for Jonathan Sutherland. You'll find it right there. And what a powerful message that is. So with God's help, Daryl Berkey, another of our producers, hopes to take two different videos of the event, also cell phone audio, and put them together into the best possible recording of Jonathan's talk, which we hope to upload to Colorado Right to Life's Facebook page and elsewhere. So all those things are happening and coming up. And when you go to our YouTube channel and watch a video, if you like it, you click that you like it, you click to share. It's so easy to share. You could even share a video at a certain point. Like, let's say you're 6 minutes into a video and it's a stunning thing that you've just learned and you want to share that. You just click share and you click a little button and start at, and it'll start right at the point that you want it to start at when you share it and somebody clicks on it. So that's all very valuable to reach people with the Christian worldview. So the video now that has been uncovered by this archaeological expedition to the lowest levels of the KGov bunker, that video, it was shot back during the 1990s. And again, we did this seminar all over the country, God's Criminal Justice System. The Bible is a criminal justice textbook, and the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we present God's criminal justice system, we do it step by step, orderly through the scriptures. So of course we talk about the death penalty and the New Testament support for capital punishment. There is so much support, just blatant support in the New Testament for the death penalty. And that support comes directly from Jesus himself, where he affirms the death penalty. You find that support in the book of Revelation, supporting the death penalty. The Apostle Paul supports the death penalty. In the book of Acts, Luke supports the death penalty. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews supports the death penalty. So we see as we go through the scriptures, including the New Testament, we see that Christians should support the death penalty. Otherwise, they are undermining God's message and God's authority. So it's very common for Christians to say, well, in the Old Testament, it's true that there was support for the death penalty, but not in the New Testament. They want people to think that in the intertestament period that God went for counseling and he got better, or he got nicer. But the reality is, when God speaks in the Old Testament, it's Jesus Christ. So we have a red letter edition of the entire Bible that we're using for our study right now. We're in the book of Leviticus at Denver Bible Church. By the way, if you're in Colorado or if you're passing through on a weekend, please come visit Denver Bible Church Sunday mornings. We start Sunday school at 9:30 and the church service at 11. In between, we can enjoy a cup of coffee and have fellowship. And then after church, the hardest part about church ending is getting people out of the building. Nobody wants to leave because everybody's fellowshipping. And of course, we don't try to get people out of the building. Just it's a wonderful time of fellowship and encouragement. And if you'd like to come, we're currently in Sunday school in the book of Leviticus. We're up around chapter 10. It's fascinating. This is a chapter, in fact, we're up to the part where atheists use this part of the book of Leviticus against God and against Christians to say that the Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. So we're going to look at that. That will be fascinating. And we use our red letter edition of the Old Testament, in fact, of the entire Bible, for this, because we page through and we show people, look how much of the book of Leviticus is in red letters. You know, red letters are used for the words of Jesus in the New Testament, because Jesus is God. And so it makes it real easy to see, well, when is the Lord speaking? Well, it's rare, but there have been editions of the Bible that have included the Old Testament red letter edition. And so we're even including this, you know, flipping through the pages of Leviticus, zoomed in, so that people who watch this, who subscribe to our monthly Bible studies on video, or people who later purchase the entire book of Leviticus from us, they'll see, look at how much Jesus is speaking in the book of Leviticus. It's just awesome. Oh, and by the way, the sermon for this coming Sunday, January 28th, 2018, the sermon is on wisdom. And wow, what a fascinating sermon it is. We've already gone through the book of Proverbs verse by verse, but it's a book that you cannot exhaust the riches of it if you read a chapter every day for the rest of your life. And so we will again look at the first chapter of the book of Proverbs and how fascinating that will be. So back to God's criminal justice system and the video, Lord willing, that we'll be adding to our store real soon, within perhaps a week. So, of course, we need to show the New Testament support for capital punishment, for the death penalty, because so many Christians have been taught that the Old Testament supports the death penalty, but the New Testament doesn't, and that's just not true. Unless you cross out the red letters of Jesus Christ supporting the death penalty. And unless you rip out Paul's epistle to the Romans, and if you rip out the book of Acts and the book of Hebrews and a couple of the Gospels, oh yes, and you should rip out the book of Revelation. And if you removed all those parts of the Bible, then maybe you could make the point that the New Testament that you now have left over doesn't support capital punishment. But you know what? I think even if you did all that, you'd find out as you studied what was left that it still affirms the death penalty. So one of those red letter passages in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 19. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so Jesus says, it's red letters, God is saying, and typically when God is revealing himself to man, it's typically a Christophany. It's typically the second person of the Trinity. And so God says, do not profane me by killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live. Isn't that something? Don't profane me by keeping people alive who should not live. If someone is convicted of a capital crime, they should be put to death. And so God says, if you don't put them to death, if the government doesn't put them to death, they are profaning me. In other words, profanity is what's common, what's vulgar. They're acting as though God is common and they could just ignore what he says. That's the government, and it's also every Christian who then speaks against the death penalty or undermines the death penalty, they are profaning God, and that's just devastating. So then, as part of God's criminal justice system, we also suggest how to answer those who disagree, and they'll argue, for example, that Jesus repealed an eye for an eye punishment, which is not true. We talk through that. They argue that Christians must forgive the murderer, which is not true. That would make you God if you could forgive the sins of someone. If you could forgive someone who sinned against someone else, then you must be God, because only God and the person sinned against can forgive the person. Now, if someone hurts one of your loved ones and they repent and they're sorry, you could forgive them for the hurt that spilled over onto you. But you can't forgive them for the actual murder. Only the victim and God can do that. Then some will argue that Christians should not judge. And so if you Google, should Christians judge, I think you'll find our article, kgov.com/judge. Of course, Christians should judge. Jesus taught to judge with righteous judgment. They'll say Christians should not repay evil for evil, but of course, it's not evil when you're obeying God. When God says that you must surely put to death the one convicted of a capital crime, then it's not evil to obey God. In fact, it's evil to disobey God. Others will say that you can only enforce the death penalty if you have no sin. That's because they are utterly ripping out of context the teaching of the Lord. Some will misquote the Bible and say, thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not kill. Now, there are some translations of the Bible that mistranslate it. And in the Ten Commandments, instead of translating, thou shalt not murder, they translate it, thou shalt not kill, which is absurd because just a few verses later, God says, if someone murders, he shall surely be put to death, and so on. If someone kidnaps, they shall surely be put to death. In fact, even in the 1611 King James Version that mistranslated this in Exodus 20, instead of correctly translating it, thou shalt not murder, the 1611 translated it, thou shalt not kill. But thankfully, when they got to the New Testament, when Jesus was speaking, and Jesus is quoting the Ten Commandments, they then correctly translated, thou shalt not murder, because Jesus, of course, correctly stated the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. So in the seminar, we go through these particulars, and what's fascinating is that as you see current events unfold, whatever it is, the Hollywood scandals or the Hillary and FBI scandals, whatever it is, you realize that you need to understand God's criminal justice system in order to be confident about your verdict on countless matters in the news. So many times Christians will weigh in on issues, and when they talk, you can tell that they know almost nothing about God's criminal justice system, Old and New Testament. They know almost nothing about it. For example, easy question, easy test. You could ask someone, what does the Bible say is the punishment for perjury? You could ask them that question. Because perjury is a significant aspect of a criminal justice system. And in fact, if perjury is not deterred, then a criminal justice system is a joke. Then it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just the system. You get that? You could Google that. You'll find that as one of the many BEL quotes that have gone far and wide. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. So, and the Bible tells us what the punishment for perjury is, what it should be. But what's interesting is if you asked, let's say, Christian talk show hosts who are weighing in on current events, including criminal matters, for years, 5 days a week, and you could ask them that question, you could say, what should the punishment for perjury be? And you'll find out right away if they know the answer, and if they do, whether they read it directly in the Bible or they heard it from someone else, it comes from the scriptures. Just like the notion that no one is above the law, and even the king is not above the law, even a president is not above the law, even Hillary Clinton is not supposed to be above the law. Anyone who says that no one is above the law, they're quoting the Bible, whether they know it or not. Because in the ancient culture, of course, the king was above the law. But the Bible taught, and this was 1,000 years before Solon of Athens, the Bible taught that even the king must submit to the law. Not even the king is above the law. No governing official is above the law. So when anyone arrives at truth in any matter, it's because to some degree they have acknowledged the God of truth. Because without the God of truth, there can be no such thing as truth. And that's why we have atheists, when you ask them, does truth exist? So often they will say no. when you debate atheists and you bring up information. They so desperately don't want to talk about information, and they pretend that information is the dots of ink on a printed page, or then as they're scanned and emailed over the internet, that they're electrons, or it's sent via photons over a fiber optic cable. They want to convince themselves that the information is the photon, or it's the molecule of pigment. And the reason they resist acknowledging that information is not physical, the reason they exist, even the existence of truth, is because they recognize that if truth exists, there must be a standard for truth, and that could only be God. And the reason they resist information is because that means that there's a realm other than the physical realm. In fact, that's even more significant than the physical realm. So when someone knows the penalty for perjury, when someone knows that no one is above the law, ultimately it's because there is a God of truth, and he has revealed himself through our conscience and also through the scriptures. So then we also present the list of capital crimes, you know, murder, kidnapping, capital perjury, adultery, and so on, including abortion. Then we present the list of laws that have been repealed because God changed the rules in the Bible on occasion in order to teach us things. For example, when Cain murdered Abel, he first said no death penalty. Then as soon as Noah came out of the ark, God said, "Now every man who sheds another man's blood, that man shall surely be put to death. By man, his blood shall be shed." So there's a list of laws that have been repealed, and we know that they've been repealed because in the New Testament, in the epistle to the Hebrews, we are told that the priesthood, remember Aaron and his sons, they were the priesthood of the tribe of Levi? Well, we're told that the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. And so there are a number of symbolic ordinances that have been repealed that applied only to Israel and through the priesthood. And so that's why the Apostle Paul says that if you want to be a workman who needs not to be ashamed before God, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. So the priesthood being changed, you no longer have the priesthood. Now, of course, the laws that were dependent on the priesthood and the symbolic ordinance of the priesthood, they are all now repealed so that no government, not even in Israel, should punish people criminally for violating one of the symbolic ordinances that applied only when the priesthood was in effect. Now it's been replaced by Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And so this is all so significant. We covered this, by the way, in our latest study that's now in our store, Exodus Symbols. I think you'll absolutely love it. You can get it Blu-ray, DVD, audio. I think it might also be available in download. So just go to kgov.com and check out the store. Of course, we're out of time. Wanted to talk more about the presumption of innocence from the scriptures and the admissibility of evidence and perjury and contempt of court. And how do you punish someone guilty of an attempted crime? How about incarceration? All this in that study. May God bless you guys.